Union Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM.
They say the sun and a shine for all. But there in some people world, you never shine at all.
These roads of flames are catching a fire. That you sing my song, my song. I've been on this road for way too long. I've been hoping that we all get along. These roads of flames are catching a fire. Ah, showed you I loved you, you called me a liar.
Is brought to you by the Bahamas Health Island Promotion Board, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, the Finn Castle Media Group, Fine Threads, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
You can call my phone. Is there a better way to go? Teach them something before they lose the soul. Oh, no, 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 freedom is the road. Oh, no, 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 coming in from the cold. Tell them not to sell it, it's worth more than gold. And guiltiness will catch them in the end. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. They'll try to manipulate you through your pockets.
Is how you can become a talking head, brought to you by BTC.
You got it locked and loaded to the Tuesday, June 18th edition of Talking Heads, your boy Naughty and your company, right up until 6 p.m. And of course, you know it is a Tuesday. We will be going in short order to Grand Bahama on the flip side of the break. As you know, each and every Tuesday, a great supplement in the Guardian, courtesy of the Grand Bahama News. We'll be touching base with Sarah Kirkby and Darren Cooper on the flip side of the break. But here's how you chime in and become a talking head. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free to anyone in the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. GuardianTalkRadio.com. cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. All right, with that being said, let's check out the headlines. All right, well, what's blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian News and Views of Madison since 1844? It's blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian News and Views that Matter since 1844. PM defends BPL deal. We have sold nothing. How many stories we getting out of this now? The math ain't mathing. The stories ain't storying. PM, investors are eager for changes at the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Well, interesting. It's the Grand Bahama Port, Grand Bahama Report today. The Freeport Report, so we'll hear from Sarah and Darren on that for sure. Man found murdered at R.M. Bailey Park. Government budgets $2.5 million for airplane for family island travel. Speaker asked Pintard, is it because I'm a woman or a rookie? Boy, don't let me answer. You're my friend, Madam Speaker, but boy, look here. You know your friends could be honest with you. Maybe I should tell you. I don't think it's because of a woman. I don't find Mr. Pintard sexist at all. Might be some rookie mistakes, though. But the good thing about rookies is you could rebound and become rookie of the year. But I digress. That's another story for another day. All right, that's what's basing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian News and Views in Madison since 1844. All brought to you, of course, by Fine Threads. Quick break, flip side of the break. We'll be going to Grand Bahama. See what's buzzing in Grand Bahama. And the buzz will be brought to you, of course, by John Shoes. And we'll see you. I'll talk everything in Grand Bahama with Sarah Kirkby and Darren Cooper, all coming up on the flip side of the break as the Tuesday, June 18th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
No one better know. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, yearning for a relaxing getaway without the headaches of international travel? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Escape to paradise without leaving home with our limited time, two fly free offer for Bahamas residents. Whether you're craving adventure, seeking to reconnect with your roots, or simply yearning to unwind in secluded shores, the Family Islands has something for everyone. But you'd better act fast, because this incredible two fly free offer is only available until June 30th. Don't let this opportunity slip away. So why wait? Book your trip today. Escape the ordinary, discover the extraordinary, and experience the magic of the Family Islands. Visit BahamasResidence.com for more information and start planning your ultimate island getaway today. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
In the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John Shoes.
And we're back at you right here on the Tuesday, June 18th edition of Talking Heads. And we want to find out what's buzzing in Grand Bahama like we do each and every Tuesday. It's time for the Freeport Report. We go to Grand Bahama. Sarah Kirkby and Darren Cooper joining me as they always do each and every Tuesday. We got Sarah for now. I think Darren will be chiming in short order. But Sarah, what's going on, man? We got lots to talk about, man.
I'm good, darling. How are you?
I am good. How are you and yours?
I'm hanging in. You know, it's the heat's a little bit too much, but the cloudy days helped a little bit this last week. Ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, boy. I'm telling you. Summer is definitely upon us.
It went from winter to summer. We didn't have no spring, no nothing. Just hot.
There you go. So what you got for us out of Grand Bahama this week, Sarah?
So our stories this week were based on the budget debate. Obviously, we centered in on the big plans for GB, which is our front cover story. It was the story about our minister, Ginger Moxie, releasing information about what's going to happen for the International Bazaar. And then we got comments, obviously, from the opposition and from our good friend C. Allen Johnson. He also gave some commentary on his thoughts about that. So that's in the paper today. We got a little update on the airport in the budget debate, which everyone's been asking for. So we put in there what the DPM said. He sent us his speech and his comments that it is looking for the end of July, August for the airport to be ready to be gone. And so we're watching it. It's a demo works are underway and will take several weeks to complete. And the contractor carrying out the demolition predicted an end date of July or early August. So we're holding him to it. And we also popped in there a picture of one of the renderings that we saw when they released information about what's going to happen. So we're just hoping that means it's on the way. That's all we can do is hope.
Boy, we got to keep hoping, right? We keep hearing stories that it's coming, but, you know, let's see it come to fruition. That's really what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I don't know who. Someone just messaged me today and said who is the who is doing the demo works. I do not know who it is, and we haven't had any updates from them at all. We know they put this fence up, but the main structure of the building stays there. I don't know how long it takes to tear down. We've just watched another building go down that was near to us here, and it took quite a while to tear it apart. So I mean, I'm hoping they're quick and they're fast, and I really do hope it's on the way.
All right.
That's all I can say. We've got
what's the general consensus on the ground, though, Sarah, from folks you've been talking to in your moving out and about? What's the general take?
Well, we're all waiting to see what's going on. We haven't heard of any. We haven't had an update on whether the contract that is happening for the airport is, I believe it's signed. I don't know the details, so that hasn't been released. The person I was speaking to is no longer with the company. So I don't know anything else. So we're just waiting for updates on that. And they're, you know, we don't get a lot of them. So this was an update in the debate. So, I don't think it's finished yet. So hopefully we'll get more. We got a lot about the bazaar and a lot about the hotels. Now, I am not one who, I have a friend who's very happy about what's going to happen in the bazaar. I'll be honest. I'm not. I just want them to knock it down and make it like into a residential or park area. I don't understand this whole African shopping center. I don't know that will work in the center where it is. And I don't think that opening the road will make a big change to Grand Bahama. But hey, you know, I could be wrong. I don't understand the hotel purchase only if it's to knock it down. I would not think they'd want to put a hotel there again. I mean, it was a different time. They were marketing it differently with a casino. And it was a, you know, Laker flight that came into Princess. That was a whole package deal and made it okay. It was an event to go to, kind of like an Atlantis before the old Princess. But I wouldn't think anything new there would be perfect. I think we'd need to be on the beach. So I don't understand the hotel. I don't think that's part of the deal for it to come back. I think that's just the land, I presume. And then, you know, we're just waiting for more details on it. But, you know, will it change things? I don't know. It could. I don't think it's going to be a major change for the direction of the island. I think the airport's going to be the big deal for us. I've been talking to people on the island, and basically, you know, they're saying we need hotel rooms in order to get a larger airport, you know, more flights to come in. I think we've got enough with the shipyard and Carnival and Wassam and that to at least get us to a larger airport, at least.
Correct. And then that could facilitate a new airport. And then the added components on top will definitely justify it.
Yeah, because we're still using our old private airport as our international terminal. It's tiny. It's small. It's crowded. You get in there. You can't get your luggage. You have to walk out to a tent.
Yeah, I mean, not a good look.
We don't want the Taj Mahal. We just want a nice basic structure like we've had before. And we'd like a conveyor belt if we get it. I mean, we are the second city. We do have quite a lot of traffic at Woolen Grove things. So, and with, you know, the amount of traffic coming through for the shipyard, we already see the increase in the island. You can see the amount of workers coming in to be there. They've got new things happening all the time. And then the increase of Carnival people as well. And people returning home, we're going to need it. I mean, Western Air is already putting on additional flights now between Nassau and Freeport. They've doubled up. It's, you know, so they see it. So I wish, you know, we could get the other side going. So, but I'm not feeling this outpouring of like, oh my goodness, the princess, and that's going to change things. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what the full plans are, but, you know, we're waiting for, you know, Minister Moxie, I guess they've got to get the plans together. They got to make the deal.
I guess Grand Bahama's just at the show me stage now. Y'all don't want to hear about it. Y'all want to see it. Y'all want to touch it. Y'all want to feel it. Show me. Anyway, let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking Heads. All right, call us back if we had you on hold too long. Sorry we didn't get you fast enough. All right, but go ahead.
And then we gave another update on the Wassam accreditation. So they say they're doing well and the school is going well. I have actually spoken to some students. I went to visit a doctor last week and the students were actually training and shadowing him during my doctor visit. And I spoke to two students around the island. They absolutely love being at school here, learning here. They're loving the facility. It's brand new. It's gorgeous. They've got new doctors coming in. There's one, I believe, from Harvard, one from another school that are coming in. So the school's doing very well. So again, this is another increase for us, and like we've talked about with housing and everything. And then we also gave an update on the UB Ignite program. We're trying to watch that because we really feel it's important how they set this up with the IDB and giving entrepreneurs an opportunity. They're doing a lot of it online. It's a lot of training and stuff. So we really want everyone who has is looking to do this program to understand it a lot more. We're keeping an eye on it and hoping there'll be more. So this is an update that we've done, really going in depth and speaking to both the IDB and the University of the Bahamas about it so we can follow the plan and see where the money is being spent. And because we want to make or taking advantage of this course that is offered by the university for free for entrepreneurs. So we encourage everyone as well to who are looking to start businesses, especially with Carnival coming online, and them needing more people and needing additional tour businesses that will now all be Bahamian. You know, we really want them to look at this as a free assistance for them to help them get to that next level. And then we have a little eyesore that's quite huge.
Okay.
Yeah, boy, I do not know what's happening here. We are waiting to hear. A friend of mine reached out and said this huge blob of oil is sitting out in East End Beach. And she has contacted the Port Authority Environmental. She's contacted BNT, Save the Bays, Waterkeepers. So we're waiting to hear an update on this, and we will give one as soon as we get it. We don't know.
And you sure that's oil? Because I'm looking at it, boy. That looks like a huge cow chip to me, boy. That looks like a huge pile of dung. But I'll take your word for it. I'm hoping it's oil more over than dung.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we're trying to get more information on that. But I mean, I think if you look at the paper today and pick it up, and we encourage you, you'll see what the old bazaar looks like. It's so sad to see the pictures. So I'm very pleased. If they're going to demolition it, that's great. But we need to see what the plan is. I'm hoping it can do something and spark some interest because I think there's other opportunities happening in the island as well.
All right. Now, sir, I got to ask you this one, and I wish Don was here, but I know he's busy. I guess he'll chime in if he can.
Yeah, I know.
But what's the word out of Grand Bahama as far as, like, the business owners And the word, you know, basically on the ground, as you see in today's Guardian, the Prime Minister, investors are eager for changes at the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And he says that, you know, investors are eagerly anticipating changes at the Grand Bahama Port Authority, and his administration will not be swayed by fear-mongering in its quest to bring positive change to Grand Bahama.
Well, I'm not sure what the fear-mongering is. I think there's just a different set of opinions
question,
here.
Asking questions is fear-mongering? Okay.
I guess. I don't know. Writing letters and requesting a meeting. I mean, we were all very pleased, obviously, to have the Prime Minister come and speak at the Chamber of Commerce and speak to people. As you know, we were disappointed that we didn't get as many questions answered. But he did come and speak to the public, and he, you know, I thought that was, you know, great that he came and did that. But we're still not hearing what this, you know, outstanding fund is. Now, I'm reading the article, and he says it's in the budget annex. So, you know, I think we're all going to go try and find that and see what's happening. There is, you know, I obviously believe in, you know, the chamber and the Freeport licensees are of the belief that, you know, we're happy with the Port Authority in the way that it's run and the streets look and how our licensing works and how our system works under a very particular way, which is the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. You know, it does give us special license features, bond, gas under bond, buying furniture under bond. These are special things that people really do like. We do have really great streets here. We have a good power company. We've had a couple issues lately. I can be honest with you. We had a couple power dips. But unfortunately, we did have two industrial accidents that caused some of that. So it's not perfect, no. But I'm not sure who the big group is that's crying out for it. It just seems to me under this current government, they never seem to quite get along with the Port Authority. You know, Fred Mitchell is not a fan, which is always such a surprise to me because, you know, if you go back and look at history, Fred Mitchell's, as far as we all know, was educated by the Port Authority into what he's doing now. I could be completely wrong, but that's what I understand. So I don't understand. And I know he likes living here. So we're, you know, a safe community. You know, we're laid out very well. We look like Fort Lauderdale. We're so different from Nassau. We don't, unfortunately, have that gorgeous beach road that you have. But our traffic is nothing like yours because we don't have as many people. I get that. But so there are some good things about it. And there just never seems to be, I don't know why they don't seem to get along. And then I don't actually agree with this, with the comment about the fact that it's not going to upset investors, because I work for investors and they're quite upset about, they don't want there to be problems between the government and the Port Authority. They wish there was harmony and everyone was getting along. So it's not good for people, because also for the investors, you know, they have to play both sides. So it's not a good thing. And I do hope it gets sorted out.
I think, you know, communication is key down there. Grand Bahama needs to be answered, you know?
Yeah.
I think there needs to be live dialogue with the Minister of Grand Bahama, not just press releases. So people actually, you know, have a sense of, all right, we get to see her on a 1-on-1. She gets to put her fingers on the pulse of Grand Bahama by talking to investors and shareholders and so on and so forth, and the press, obviously.
Yeah.
And you don't have so many moving parts. Because now here we are with all that's gone down. We're at fear-mongering because we're asking questions. Well, maybe if the information was disseminated properly or we had a Freedom of Information Act, then we wouldn't have to go this route. But obviously, we do have to ask a question. You can't get offended and call it fear-mongering. That's not good.
Wasn't there an update yesterday or something on the Freedom of Information Act, Naughty? Because I know you and I have been pushing that for a very long time and under Save the Bays.
But it's still coming. It's still coming. So, that's what I hear. It's
no,
coming, right?
Nothing. I mean, there's nothing. And I it's a key of what we need the system of our country to run on.
Obviously,
I mean,
with this administration.
We're all just guessing at this point, especially. And the perfect example is what's happening with BPL.
If you go on decisions made by this administration in regard to the Freedom of Information Act, the Procurement Act, it's bad for their business or their business model, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it's in the way of, you know, family, friends, lovers, homies, and cronies. So obviously, you know, we got to wait and take what they serve us as gospel. But if you ask questions or you do your due diligence or you do a little digging, now you're fear-mongering. That's not right. And yeah. You know, you could go from one end of the spectrum to the next with the media. One day the media is good and now the media is bad. No, it don't work like that. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Yeah.
Hello.
Talking Heads.
Hello. Hello, Donnie.
Hey, what's going on, Sparky?
Well, you're hanging in. Well, it's hard to get free these days, but anyway, thank God. How's your family doing? I hope everything is fine.
I hope everything is good with you and yours. Mine's doing well, Sparky. What's happening?
Well, I still got a similar issue to tell you about my right side of the leg. But anyway, thank God for what I gathered. We still had a little minor crimes that were, I wouldn't say minor, major crimes, but we didn't have that many. But I'm glad it appears to me that we had a rather quiet and somber Father's Day. Wish you the best, too.
Thanks, man. Hope you had a good one as well.
And yours. I became a great granddaddy last week.
Stop it.
Great grand. I am bragging, but I was old and they said I was a granddaddy. Then they pop up the surprise on me and they called me and say, granddaddy, we got something to tell you. I said, what you talking about, grandson? I'm a daddy today. I said, oh, wait a minute. You're my grandson. Now you're telling me you're a daddy.
Generation grand, Sparky, that's good stuff.
That make me a great granddaddy.
Yes, sir.
My son and I will go here on a 9-pounder, 8-pounder on the 13th. I'm born on May the 4th.
Man, Sparky, that's your grandchild. You're making it sound like a fish, a 9-pounder, a 9-pounder,
9.8-pounder.
What you got
well, for the girl? I don't know what kind of pounder he is. He pounded the floor, but he's healthier than life. So I'd like to say, happy Father's Day, first Father's Day to my grandson.
There you go.
My going to the generation. And you know the number is 18 in the roof?
Got you covered. I like that.
18 in the roof. You know what we have there, all right?
Brown bottles, eh?
No, I don't, but I don't, but last night game, 18 in the roof.
Oh, yeah.
18 in the roof.
On that, Sparky, congratulations on your grand, great grand. Congratulations on number 18. But my Laker heart will not permit me to let you rub it in until 5 o'clock. So call back at 5 o'clock.
It always comes this time. I really get concerned being a nationalist and a bucket mold master. But this is the year when this is the time of the year when me most fathers and mothers congratulate the kids from Andy Russell up to the University of wherever the hell you've been on graduating from whatever school you attained those degrees or those steps up. We wish all the children and our brothers and sisters and men that are graduating, fathers and grandmothers went back to school and graduated. We wish them the best and congratulate them. But you know what I get concerned about around this time, I'm naughty. How many children came out of the schools?
Yeah, another 5,000 coming out. Another 5,000 coming out.
How much?
About another 5,000.
Another 5 to 6 coming out. And another 5 to 6 from last year. Can't find no job yet. What are we going to do this time? How much more on the blocks? How much more on the basketball court? How much more ain't got nothing to do? And when they ain't got nothing to do, they pick up some stupid things called guns or some brown bottles or some ganja, and they get in trouble. So we got to pray. We got to pray for some reason. Naughty, what are we going to do? Hello?
Yeah, Sparky, what we got
to do? Is it about the color and shape you wear?
No, we gotta go to be Bahamian first, man, and put that political stuff aside when it comes to crime, man. You can't have that right.
We gotta go Bahamian first because we gotta give it to the foreigners first.
No, Sparky.
I'm trying to get a farm started, and I can't get no help.
Well, you gotta call me back on that tomorrow when we open up the lines.
I don't want no food in my country, and I can't get no help. But foreigners could come in there and get anything they want. Have a good day.
You too, Sparks. Call me tomorrow. Let's get this out of call in so we can get back to Grand Bahama. Talking Heads.
Yes. Calling from Grand Bahama.
Hey, what you got for me, C. Allen? What's going on?
It's a new district distribution point for hope. That's the new dope.
Hey, C. That's a good one, Dan. C. Allen sent me the statement I was asking about, the budget summary. So there's no breakdown, C. Allen, of what it just says here that... We just owe $75 million each year?
Yeah, so this is confusing. Okay, if you take the other period of the billing that they had, right, and you devised it, and you used basically the economic feature from extrapolation from data, you'd estimate that the government, if nothing changes, would be sending a bill for $25 million. But they have three times that on it. So then it now questions is like, what calculations are they using? Or if you look at it, it's a warning to us. Imagine this, Sarah. If you say that the Grand Bahama Port Authority has not developed the economy to the point that they will have a deficiency of $25 million a year, right? And you're, or even $50 million. Let's just say $50 million a year. And you're now coming back to say, look, we anticipate that the economy is going to get so bad on Grand Bahama, the deficiency will be $75 million a year.
See? So wait a second. Alan, they're saying then that we get fined that the Port Authority is getting fined $25 million for not bringing enough business in, but now they've multiplied it by three. If we basically put it in layman's terms, that's what you're saying?
Yes. That's the only explanation I could come to, because why else would it double or even triple? It would mean that we could expect even a worse economy performance in spite of what it said to us.
But where's $25 million coming from? They're saying that the money that we send is not enough, and that's why they're getting fined $25 million?
Yeah. That's the deficiency. They're saying if you actually go for the 5 years bill for the $300 million, it actually comes out to about $60 million or plus a year. So they're saying that essentially that the economy is not going to perform. Even for them saying that these things are going to happen, if these things are going to happen, then why would you put a deficiency for 3 years in a row that nothing is going to change? That's essentially what they're projecting. They're saying nothing is going to change for the next 3 years. And that's what their budget says. And so that tells us that we need to prepare as a community, because apparently the blueprint for change means nothing, because a lot of promises was made in that blueprint for change, and the government has yet to put the infrastructure requirements that it takes to actually do that. And so we hear people talk about a lot of different things about digital economy, orange economy, aquamarine economy, blue economy, ocean economy, all these things. But it requires legislation, policies, procedures, processes, all of these different things. We have heard nothing in this budget. You know, they say interrupting the status quo. But this, for me, the budget is maintaining the status quo, because when you interrupt something, it has something to replace it. So we are having, just imagine this, though. We have this this Afro-Caribbean thing coming here. And essentially, you're talking about a logistic hub that we're now going to compete with Amazon, Alibaba, Made in China, all these multi-billion dollar companies that has the ability to be everywhere while being nowhere. So we want people to fly in to see these things and buy them as souvenirs, or fly in to touch and smell these things to basically sell them. If we have products to sell, why aren't we creating a digital logistic environment for these 16 islands? You know, are we using that as a prop for something else? I understand the concept of selling things you don't have to people you don't know for money that you don't have, but this concept of people physically coming to a location to even be engaged in seeing products and services and different things, the concept is slowly dying, more so as we begin to reach virtualization, digital twins, and the likes. What we do, though, have an opportunity for Grand Bahama is that Grand Bahama has the ability to sustain the green economy, the blue economy, ocean economy, aquarium economy, these type of things. The problem is we're not getting the leadership that actually seems to understand, to tell us what does it take to bring these into reality and fruition. We need housing. Where is the government policy on housing? We can't wait for government to build 80,000 homes. This is the minister who said her last contribution, the current energy minister, who in her last contribution says that we were missing 80,000 homes. We need to build 4,000 new housing units per year, for which we're only hitting 1,700 of that. So every single year we have a deficiency of about 2,500 housing units we need. Where is the policy to inspire contractors and other different people to begin that process? If we need 14,500 rooms for Grand Bahama for the airport to become viable, maybe 10,000 of each, why isn't the construction industry jumping off right now simultaneously? Because investors knows, with access to digital fintech, whatever, investors knows that if you can lay out a plan, this is just an example. I don't know if you remember Miami in 2021, there was a fight concerning for these digital big giants like Amazon and the GoTo. And then Twitter, Elon Musk was having a problem.
Yeah, I remember
the guy
that.
From Miami, he sent a tweet saying, you'll not have that problem here. And billions of dollars flowed into that community almost in the immediate. If we have this infrastructure that everybody talks about, then why aren't we having the conversation with those giants and other people? You just have to see, the problem is that you can't sell what you don't know, you're totally unaware of. And so the problem is that in spite of us spending $75 million a year on consultants, that's what I thought the consultants would focus. I don't expect the five less celebrities to know. I thought the consultants by now, and going on 3 years, would have had a strategy for Grand Bahama. Because remember, Freeport is responsible to Grand Bahama Port Authority. But they have to have a vision to plug into. They don't supersede government. Government keep reminding them of that. You're not bigger than us. So where is the vision, the strategy that they can plug into? You understand? And so it's like you bashing someone. You put them in a cage and then say, I'm going to start fining you because you can't leave the cage. I simply say, have it make sense. Freeport, especially then the rest of Grand Bahama, is ideal for smart homes, smart businesses, smart communities, smart cities, a smart island, and a smart country. This is where. There's no point. Just saying this, Naughty, and ending. I can tell you, the next administration knows this. We understand what it takes to build back better, stronger together. Okay? We know what it is for Freeport to build a place so that we can live, work, study, play, visit, explore, invest, dine, and shop. Zippy saying to you, Michael Pintard and the FNM understands this. We're going to build forward, not look back and complain about what some other leaders do. We have new leadership at the wheel, and we are looking forward to taking Grand Bahama and the rest of the Bahamas where people can find their purpose, develop their passion, and dream again. Thank you so much.
Be safe, Seattle, and all these great contributions. Good to hear from you, man. Thanks. We got Darren joining us now as well, so we got Darren and Sarah here. Darren, I know you're getting caught up, man, but how goes it overall as well?
Hey, guys. So good to be on air. I forgot it was Tuesday, and I've been having phone problems, and so I'm correcting my problems, Sarah, but just try not to lose my information. So I've been on a backup information
all
day.
You're getting all techie, Darren. Watch out. Coming into the real world.
But, Darren, what's your take? I mean, I spoke to Sarah. She mentioned it briefly, but what's your take on the PM's comments in today's Guardian, investors are eager for changes at the Grand Bahama Port Authority.
And
the fear-mongering that is.
I beg to differ because investors with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, well, I believe some do have its concerns, but I think majority of them have been treated fairly, the ones that I've been working with in terms of their relations with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Again, I continue to stress, and I will continue to stress, that the delay of any investment in Grand Bahama has to do all the time with government agencies and government bureaucracy in being able to get it done. So I think, you know, the Prime Minister continues to paint the picture because he probably may be representing a campaign backer who may have been stroking his ego to push him to get something done as relates to the port because he may have personal interests. This is my speculation for the day, and I'm sort of convinced of the speculation I'm making. But and that's the confidence as relates to their relation to the government board authority, the shareholders. I think from my short little piece of knowledge, it's been sort of okay. It's just government continues to delay and hinder any forward movement as relates to our investors. We do have investors in the pipeline that are still stuck on government, not the approval, government approval.
So the crux of it is government, more or less. The red tape is governmental red tape then?
You know, Nadi, let me say that. Let me be clear. I don't believe anything the Prime Minister says right now or the Minister for Government, because the fact that you will make a statement that you're purchasing the International Bazaar for $4 million says to us as the people that you'd had some level of dialogue or conversation with the owners. And the fact that you have not had any level of dialogue and the owners are saying, hey, where did such figure come from? Who negotiated such figure? When did we have a conversation? Or have you even reached out to me? Is a clear indication that there's some serious misleading from our government. The Harcourt Development Group, what type of conversation was had with them? So you're talking about investor confidence. You have the people in Grand Bahama has confidence in the government of today.
And let me ask that question. How confident are the residents of Grand Bahama and Freeport in the current administration?
Well, I can speak for me. You know, I think it's fair to say that probably a lot of them feel the same way. You know, the PLP, my good friend, the good spokesman for the PLP here in Grand Bahama, the guy who likes to do the voice note and videos, you know, he had one video going around where he was rowing them about not doing anything for them, the supporters, and how they were having an event and nobody showed up. And
I saw those videos.
Okay, that was 2 years. The first video was 2 years ago. And then a video came out again, which he did on Saturday past. And when you look at both videos and the turnout of the supporters of the men's branch, it says to you that the confidence of even their supporters is on its all-time low, and that should be very concerning. For West End to East End, with men's branch association or men's branch, to not have a good turnout on a Saturday afternoon, free food and free booze, very much to think about.
And they have free food and free booze?
Not worrying about what it
is. Hold on, wait a minute, Dad. We got to revisit that now.
Free. It was free.
Free food and free liquor?
I say it's free.
Man, now see, that's a sign of the times right there.
It was free.
Then they're turning down free food and free liquor. You gotta revisit the scene. You gotta do some double checking now. That's a sign.
So for me, Naughty, I don't think the Prime Minister's statement is fair because, hey, you know, what is so concerning for me as a Grand Bahamian? We can't get the Minister for Grand Bahama with all this big talk in the House of Assembly to even come and sit around the table, to have a conversation, to speak with the press, to answer some of the misconception or misleading or misunderstanding that we may have and we may be putting out there. You've not made yourself available. And then, you know, I mean, we got the new whatever you want to call him in the office of the Prime Minister. What is Sarah? What the new guy from West End and Bimini is? What is his position? Something there, you know.
I don't know what his title is.
But none of them.
I tell you, you're trying to Mr. Smith.
Could find the time.
Yeah, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, Kingy Smith, yeah. The Smith man, you know. But yet we got him, buy him brand new car. Brand new. I mean, we just spending unnecessary, you know, but. They should come
and go. He was sworn in as the parliamentary secretary in the Ministry for Grand Bahama.
That's it. Parliamentary secretary.
Okay, that's good.
He's the PS.
Yeah, I'd call him the junior minister for Grand Bahama.
Well, we need more information. Like I said this earlier, more info needs to come out of Grand Bahama, you know, that people could know what's going on. And you can't be considered as a fearmonger if you're asking questions.
I was going to ask Darren, what are you thinking? What are you finding people are saying about the bazaar and the princess being purchased?
One of the things that a lot of persons who've been dialoguing with me was very concerned about the cost, the $4 million cost. And they were trying to figure out what was the government buying for $4 million. And then to have had some dialogue, persons know some of the owners of the bazaar personally. And, you know, they are saying, well, we want to know where the government get this figure from and who the government been talking to arrive at such figure. So you know, a lot of persons are really concerned on the grounds that why the government may be lying to us or the government have lied to us is a lot of the concerns. And then people are asking, too, you know, we're opening the International Bazaar.
Just saying, be careful using that lie term.
What?
That upset people.
Say it again?
Said, be careful using that word lied. You know, that upsets people.
Well, I'm a journalist, so I could use that word. That they not even know the conduct of code of conduct. I know it. But misleading then.
Misspoke works.
That's a good lying to the people about the...
Yeah, because I had understood that it would cost $1 million to knock down the. You know, that was.
$1 million for the demolition of the bazaar? Did we hear you correct, sir? And then we lost Sarah, I think.
Where is there no you know, what's their repercussion for them? And they bought that, they were given that sale. I believe it wasn't one that people wanted. So what happens to those people?
Go ahead, Don. You were saying something as well? Because we lost there for a second, and it cut in and cut out.
Many questions we have as related to the bazaar and the government's position. You know, and then two, we're focusing on an area of Grand Bahama. And I heard someone made the comment, oh, that's one added derelict building removed. And, you know, okay, we could celebrate on that. But, you know, we still have areas. For instance, we have a whole hotel that we own. It's still half or three-quarters abandoned. What are we doing with that? And the longer it stays that way, the more likely a chance of us not even being able to get what it is we want for the property. We still have an airport. Not again, clear information as relates to the way forward for this airport. What's the actual game plan? Who is going to be the developers? What is the plan to develop? And again, we go back to so much stuff is being said in the House of Assembly with limited to no details on the questions and concerns we as residents have. And all we're simply saying is dialogue with us, because we are the taxpayers that will pay this bill that you will accumulate for us. And then afterwards we change government, and then we can say, we can hear the next one say, you did it, but it's still a bill that we have to swallow to be able to keep our head above water. And so all we're simply saying is, you know, let's talk. Let's communicate. We got the chairman of the PLP. You're so busy sending voice notes and attacking people. What you should do is get your head from where it don't need to be and get busy in answering the questions that the people of Grand Bahama and the Bahamas has as it relates to the way forward. We don't want to hear the attack, and we don't want to hear those silly comments. We want to talk. We need to know as a people what in God's creation you are doing with the taxpayers' money. You are obligated to answer that.
Right.
And if you fail to do so, again, we will judge you in 5 years, hopefully before, which may be too late for us. But we are not interested in that type of behavior. You work for the people, whether I am a PLP or not. They need to get it through their thick skulls and understand that you are driving our cars, you are answering our cellular phones, you are living off of the backs of the Bahamian people, which means you are obligated and responsible to be responsible in talking to the people, not running away from us.
All right, let's grab this call real quick before we wrap things up. Really appreciate both of you guys chiming in as well. We'll do it again next Tuesday and have a great rest of the week. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, all is well?
Yes, what's happening?
Listen, man, I have the same sentiment as a Grand Bahamian. The Prime Minister ran on transparency, and in on transparency for the last 2.5 or 3 years, so they've been in power now, for the last, how long they've been in office.
Right, going on 3.
Exactly. And the only people they have been is the same set of people who support their campaign during the election. You understand? I know what Dara talked about, what he wrote. What bill it right or create highway? But everything cool. You understand what I said? They get just what they're looking for. I go on.
All right. Well, that's a different sentiment from Grand Bahama, but that kind of has to be the sentiment that I'm getting. Again, appreciate Sarah and Darren chiming in as always. We'll do it again next Tuesday. We'll take a quick break.
Thanks, Daddy.
Flip side of the break, we'll get into the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be into the news. And our party will be in the building. We'll be talking sports. Sheldon Longley will join us as well, too. I got some strange sinking feeling. It has something to do with the 18th championship for the Boston Celtics. So we'll talk that coming up all in the 5 o'clock hour as the Tuesday, June 18th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man. It's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at kfcnassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Wanna step out and look great? Then Fine Threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power. Major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game-changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You're listening to Talkin' Heads with Naughty, only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, the Fincastle Media Group, Fine Threads, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, June 18th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. We got Pearly zooming in. Any second, Pearly should be zooming in. And I got a special guest in studio. I'll get him, to the microphone in a second, but let me get some particulars out of the way. Let me get today in sports history out of the way. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Because I know when I start talking to my guests today, it's going to be long. So, let me get this in and get this done. Oh, and it's a short day today and today in sports history. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Don't forget, happy hour Naughty Johnny's each and every Wednesday and Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Always worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza. Great cocktail specials, great appetizers, great food. Be sure to check them out each and every Wednesday and Friday, 5 to 7 for their happy hour. All right, on this day, June 18th in sports history, 1953, 17 Major League Baseball records were tied or broken in a game between the Boston Red Sox and the Detroit Tigers. 1960, Tom Sheehan of the San Francisco Giants became the oldest first-time manager in Major League Baseball. Sheehan was 66 years old, 2 months and 18 days. 1975, Fred Lynn of the Boston Red Sox hit 3 home runs, a triple, and a single in a game against the Tigers. He collected 10 RBIs. In 1986, Don Sutton won his 300th game in Major League Baseball. And the quote of the day on this day in sports history, ingenuity plus courage plus work equals miracles. Bob Richards, pole vaulter. All right, that's a wrap on today in sports history. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. We're going to jump right over to the local scene. All brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And be sure to check them out tomorrow. It's Whopper Wednesday, $5.95. You got the Whopper fries and soft drink at your favorite Burger King Nassau location, or go angry. Get the Angry Whopper, the Angry Chicken, or if you want, spice up your breakfast with that Angry Crisp Sandwich. All available for you at your favorite Burger King Nassau location. We'll get into who's in and who's out. All brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. Both locations open for you here in New Providence. All right. Flagship store over there on Mackey Street and Rosetta. And, of course, the Western location out there at the R&D Plaza. And don't forget, Freeport's open and popping for you as well. Like I always tell you, man, the Greeks may have invented the gyros, but Chef Gomer and Tropical Gyros perfected them. All right, who's in and who's out? Party, you in the building?
Web radio.
All right, buckle up, because you know our special guest from right next door, all the way from the Guardian sports room, our sports editor here at the Guardian, Mr. King Leprechaun himself, Mr. Boston Celtics. I don't see this man in this section of the building only 2 times a year. When the Celtics win a championship and when the Dolphins beat the Cowboys, that's it. Otherwise, we don't have much to talk about unless it's a Yankee World Series. And that way, you can come for the whole week.
His counterpart from another radio station and TV station done been teasing all morning, too.
Who was that?
Yeah, Fisher. Really big, bald, leprechaun head.
Yeah, there are quite a few of us on Depp, really. There are quite a few of us.
Anyway, I will go and now welcome to the show, you know, Mr. Sheldon Longley. Sheldon, good to see you as always. And yes, it's your moment, my brother. The Celtics have gotten number 18. Purdy and I have to sit our Lakers 17 trophy-toting behinds on the side and watch y'all do your thing.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, man. It was a long time coming. You know, it's well-deserved. I think the guys fought hard for it. I was so excited last night I didn't even sleep. I was watching highlights all night, all morning. You know, so I just want to give a shout out to all the Celtic fans out there. There's so many of us. You know, May, TJ, Vado. My mom is a big Celtics fan. That's where I got it from. There's so many of us out there. We've been waiting so long for this. It feels great, man.
Pearly boy, it's thick in here. You know, you get you zooming today, you know, Pearly. You're dead thick in here today, but it's so thick.
I know it's thick in there.
I still waiting for that formal congratulation from Pearly. I ain't got that yet.
Pearly, go ahead, man.
Congratulations to you and your Celtics on your 18th victory. Well deserved. Well, to be very honest with you, I did pick you from the beginning of the season. I just went with Dallas in this because I could never, ever, ever pull for the Celtics in anything.
But see, Pearly, you got to be able to separate your professional pick from your heart, man. That's the thing. You know, I know you didn't want us to win, but if you feel like he's going to win, you should have stuck with it.
When it comes to the Yankees and the Celtics, it's hard.
Got to separate,
man. You got to separate. The baseball Giants.
Pearly's being very diplomatic. Let me give you my congratulations. Congratulations on number 18.
Thank you, man.
Well deserved.
Six straight trips
to the Eastern Conference Final. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to shake your head at. You did it with a new coach. It's kind of like Mark Jackson. You know, Ebi Udoka built the team.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Mike Masala, you know, took it to where they needed to be and won him a championship, you know. Cool hand.
I can refute that a little bit. I think Brad Stevens actually built the team.
I was about to give Brad his credit. Making the ultimate transition, mm-hmm. moving from the sideline to the front office, kind of like Auerbach did before him.
Yes.
And you rebuilt the Celtics to a team that could actually compete for six straight years in the Eastern Conference Final.
Yes.
They made two finals out of the six. You know, most people may scoff at that. Now, if you're a LeBron fan, you'll rave over that. But at the end of the day, they went to six Eastern Conference Finals, two NBA Finals. They won one. And I tip my hat to him. It's number 18 for the Celtics, a storied tradition franchise, a great rival of the Lakers. God bless the dead. I should have known when Jerry West passed away what was coming, because bless his sweet soul, he did not want to see number 18, and may you rest in peace, Jerry.
It's not the big one thing, didn't get the CD, though.
At the end of the day, them two are disputing it in the Pearly Gates, and we will have to sit here as Lakers and watch. But the good thing about it is, with that rivalry, you know, when you get one... Mm. We eventually will get one. However, it's not like the rivalries back in the day when Bird and Company got one, then Magic got one, and y'all got one, and we peeled off two, and y'all got... No. This is a little different.
Well, we hope y'all can get it together because we have a feeling we can be
Now, is my crux right there, and I've talked to Pearly about this off here. Hopefully, this will sink in to upper management in L.A. and say, listen, not only do you have a bunch of billionaire new young owners coming into the league, shaking the league up, trying to win a championship overnight and playing big stakes, you have veteran franchises like the Celtics that are signing the right players to the right contracts, bringing in the right superstars, nurturing their superstars, developing them through the draft.
Through the draft.
Not swinging for the fences with aging superstars that are going to leave your team, you know, bankrupt and in salary cap purgatory and minus draft picks, and you're in disarray. The Celtics, you know, smooth transition. So I hope the Lakers, in all things rivalry, look at it and say, you know, we need to get better as a front office. We need to think smarter. We need to make better moves and get back on that stage. And hopefully it shouldn't take too long because with this thing, you know, known as the Celtic-Laker rivalry, if we got to spend on chasing you all this offseason, we may very well do that.
Well, true to draft is key, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we built this thing through the draft. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're only 26 and 27 years old, you know, and I think the Celtics have a great future ahead of them. We could make it possibly to probably two or three more finals in the next 5 years, I believe, you know, if they keep this core together.
Now, if we keep the score together, but this is the majority of the score has been together over the last 6 years, right? Minus a few, you know, changes.
Yeah, that's why we have to give Brad the credit, because he was able, he saw the vision and he brought in KP and Drew, and that was huge. You know, we hate to see Marcus Smart go, and we wish he was a part of this championship team. You know, we would have loved to have him, but nobody can argue that it was an upgrade.
But let me put McCollin Cowherd hat on. You've only been to two in 6 years. What's to tell you now that in the next 5 years you can go to three?
Because of the core. Because of the core.
But hasn't this been the same core over the 6 years?
That's why I said bringing in Drew and KP make a big difference.
Now, you got to be careful over the last 6 years. Yeah. That's a good point, but over the last 6 years, there's been no repeat. There's just been a new champion every year.
Yeah, but health is important. We all know that. So at the end of the season. Health,
but you got to also take in mind, in this day and age of the NBA, you can't pay everybody the money, so you're going to have to make a decision in a year or two who you're keeping, Tatum or Brown.
But Tatum is going to get a $300 million package. Tatum is definitely going to get a $300
million package. So you got Tatum and Brown, but now what do you do to fill out the rest? Because that's two big contracts.
It's going
to
be tough. It's going to be tough. But, you know, like just how we built again around them this season, I'm confident that we could do it again. You know, but this CMTM, we could keep together for another 2 to 3 years, I believe. Now, when we have to pay Derek White, you know, that's
speaking of Derek White, he was a big intangible for you already. Him and Porzingis, Porzingis did get in, was two big mismatches that won some games for the Celtics, I think, too. The Dallas couldn't make the adjustment too. Was White and was Porzingis.
Man, he was the key to the series. Him and Derek White in that backcourt, and the pressure that they bring in that backcourt, that was huge. We're going to need that going forward. So we're going to have to find a way to keep them two together if we want to continue making it to the finals and continue winning championships. I think we could do it.
And another thing that galled me too, Pearly, I don't know if you noticed, but
our... Don't you have some contracts expiring this year or next year?
Only Tatum. And then White is the year after that. Yeah, but only Tatum this year, and he's gonna get his $300 million package.
And what about Brown
already got paid. Brown is locked down for the next 3 to 4 years. Remember, he got the big extension?
Okay.
He got the $300 million extension? Brown got his $300 million extension.
Brown got his money.
So what's... Porzingis on a 1 year or 2 year contract?
He's on a 2 year deal.
All right.
You know, so it's going to be Tatum first. He's going to get his money this summer, and then we're going to have to deal with White after that. Once we keep this core together for the next 3 to 4 years, I'm confident we can make it back.
We got a couple of texts coming in. Naughty, ask Sheldon if that's Vado Gray he's referring to.
No, the Vado Cartwright. That's my boy from the airport, man.
Oh, because he was like, well, my brother Vado, you know, we've been Boston fans from we were one. My mom is a big Boston fan, too.
Big shout out to him. We've been Boston fans from as long as I could remember, from primary school. We came from primary school together. Also, the Dennis Kalman, my boy DJ, from I could remember. From growing up, always been Boston Celtics.
Oh, Lord.
Gotta salute those guys.
I gotta shout out Lorenzo Baricelli, the GM down there at Margaritaville and at the Point down there. He's a huge Celtic fan from back in the day. I'm sure I will be hearing from him later on this evening. Not as pleasant as I'm greeting him now. My face can get rubbing it later on.
We ain't taking the bandwagoners, though. The bandwagoners, they can stay where they are.
Speaking of bandwagoners, big celebrity NBA bandwagoner. Apparently, KD is now making mention he wants to stand up in Boston somehow.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah.
It's
coming out now.
He wants to take a serious, serious pay cut.
At this stage of his career, if he wants to win rings, I mean, he might fit in well there.
Not only will he have to take a pay cut, but I don't even know if he could fit on that team.
That's what I'm saying. He plays no defense.
He might have to come off the bench. Man, that's scary.
KD fans are going wild. But listen, speaking of your bench, probably another thing that galled me last night was I saw Svi Mihailuk get a championship ring. We drafted him a couple of years ago, rushed to trade him away to accommodate, you know, getting another shooter for LeBron in Bullock a couple of years back. It didn't work out. I always was upset at that because I thought he was a good young shooter that we should have developed. Mm-hmm. And there he is playing a key role off that Boston bench and hitting shots when he needs to. Didn't play too much in the series, but was a bench man through the year. But he's another key ingredient that, if you look at it, because he's played at a championship level now and played on a high-quality program like the Celtics, he'll be able to fit right in if they lose some people in free agency.
Well, I hope you heard what Tatum said. Tatum gave them credit. He called them the Be-Ready crew. You know, some of the biggest shots in this series were hit by some of the players of our bench.
Mm-hmm.
Pritchard last night.
One set of people you have to give credit to is them Boston fans. They got in Kyrie's head. Not the players, not the coaching. The fans got in Kyrie Irving's head. He can't do nothing in Boston. They mess with him big time.
I don't know if it was so much the finals because
was the key factor.
Kyrie is a big performer on the world stage, you know, and he's been to the finals before and he's hit big shots.
I think
it
was more
before.
Defensive adjustments that he couldn't adjust to because they had a wicked trap going on. As soon as he broke one portion of it, another person was right there playing defense.
You got to credit the defense.
Let me tell you something that warmed my heart. And I sat there in my house all night and everybody looked at me like I was crazy and then they bust out laughing. But I had a Tommy Heinsohn, Johnny Most flashback when I looked at the Celtics the other night. And I don't know, it's still in today's NBA, only the Boston Celtics could still have four white boys on the court at one time. And at one point, they had five white boys on the court at one time. How did they do it? Red Auerbach was looking down, lighting up a cigar, just laughing.
Well, the black man won MVP. That's all that matters.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, only the Celtics in 2024 can still have four or five white boys on the court at the same time.
And all of my shooters.
Everybody was shooting, even the center. But it's number 18, Sheldon. You all have bragging rights. I mean, I will say this. It is, and big up the Hands and the crew over there in Seagrapes at the liquor store. Big up the Hands and crew, man. Your prediction came true, Hands. Enjoy yourself. He's another longtime Celtic holding it down. Listen. I look at it, though, and I feel a little, like let down in the sense that what's next? Is Boston going to be that team that we could say is a potential dynasty and everybody jump on the bandwagon? And can I break up my Lakers-Celtic hate again? And or is it just going to be another changing of the guard next year? I mean,
well, we ain't a big dynasty yet, but we can say it starts at one. We will say it starts at one. And we got that one. We got that monkey off our box. We bring back 12 out of our out of the 15 players next season, including the entire starting five. Horford will be back.
But let me ask you this, though. You bring everybody back. I think there's two teams waiting for you in the East. One is...
For us this year, too.
No. Hear me out now. I'm not. you got to have your swag. You got to have your moment. But I think a healthy, retooled Milwaukee Bucks team may be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a rivalry from back in the day, a healthy New York Knicks team.
Mm-hmm. One thing I love you was
I can cut you off. Not only that, if Paul George signed with the Sixers, that's another team you got to worry about.
It is.
But the Sixers is pretty united, but the firecracker always be wetter than when you expect the explosion. It's like,
and can Embiid stay healthy? You know,
that's a big question.
Can he manage a full 80 game season, playoffs, and regular season? You know,
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
A pleasant good evening once again on the sports section.
Go ahead, Sparky. This is a long-time Celtic gremlin right here. Go ahead, Sparky.
Now,
get it in.
You know, one thing I don't understand about Mike Dehamian sports, I call your side Monday night coaches, and you know everything but sports. You know, could quote everybody, but they with primary school and kindergarten they went to. You all know so much about sports that you all don't listen to nobody from the old geek. You realize it's been 16 years since the Celtics been championship again?
Mm-hmm, because they beat my Lakers in the process.
You guys listen to your change team this year and change team next year. One minute you're the Miami Dolphins, the next minute you're the San Francisco this, the next minute you're the...
That must be some other show you listening to.
No, they ought to be changing team all the time. Sparky,
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I am to the Dallas Cowboys. Hold on, Sparky. I am to the Dallas Cowboys.
Can't talk now, please.
No. Hold on. This is my show still.
I heard your show.
I can get this point out. I am to the Cowboys, Lakers, and Yankees, which you are to the PLP. So don't even go there.
I am
to Kobe Bryant, which you are to Brad Davis. So don't play with me, baby.
No. I'm going to go there because I was the F&M for one time.
Yeah, man. See, I never...
Everybody go on there for them.
But I got to think... I was put for John Moran from time to time, too, though. But that's...
No, you only do it once. You just do it once you get rid of the leader.
All right.
And then you go back.
Well, I only did it to try to get rid of LeBron, so I must have got to do it twice. But anyway, that's
what
fine.
What I'm saying is, from a child I know myself, I was amazed by Willie Mays. And I became a San Francisco Giant. When I was growing up, when it came to football, I just loved Johnny Unitas, and I became a Baltimore Colt.
So why are you bragging talk about you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? You're a big switcher yourself.
Baltimore Colt got rid of Johnny Unitas. Then the Baltimore Colt went to a time where they left Baltimore and everything.
So that's when I switched to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
So Franco Harris them time.
Okay, all right.
And Glimps one of them.
And Rocky Blyer and John Stallworth, you know, and Mel Blount.
I've been a Celtics fan from John Havlicek and Bill Russell and them from way back. I just become a Celtic this Tuesday because of last night. There's a lot of Celtic fans in Nassau now. Just became Celtic this morning. That's what the Indians do. They go to the bar, they get drunk, pull them next year. That's what color uniform.
All right, Sparky, I can say this. I can't speak for the other Celtic fans out there, but I pick all of my teams in 1983. Celtics, Dolphins, and Yankees, and Valley Boys.
1983?
1983.
Yeah,
so I've been at this for a while, eh? And I never switch. I never leave none of my teams. I know but 1-15 Dolphins.
And the ones you think are boys too, boy.
Let me tell you something. You say 1983.
1983.
Okay, let me tell you something. I took the Valley Boys first banner in 1958. What do you think I hear?
Okay, well, I know as old as you. So,
1958. December.
I feel you.
I took the Valley Boys first banner. So, you know, I got to be still a Valley Boy now.
I got you.
All right, Sparky, good stuff, man. Congrats on number 18, bro. We appreciate it. Go have a couple of brown bottles in honor of your Celtics. But back to what we were talking about, Purdy. You made an interesting point about the Sixers. If they do get Paul George, though, does that put them over the hump with Embiid?
That puts them in the talk.
It does put them in the talk. It puts them in the talk, I think.
It puts them in the talk. I think they're missing that one player. And I think if a healthy Paul George, and I think if he ends up in Philadelphia, they'd be injured. Like Bill Walton was injured all his career. And then the one year he came to Boston to win the championship, he was healthy all season. And that is what has happened. I've been watching this.
Well, that means Buddy might get shipped out. Buddy might, if he ends up in Philly, Paul George, then Buddy might end up in L.A. because, you know, but not too much balls to go around, and they weren't using Buddy toward the end there anyway.
That's a possibility. Because when I hear Sparky make his noises like that, I've been watching this for 50 years. I've been pulling for the Lakers, the Dodgers, and the Dolphins more than 52 years. So I've been seeing and I've been watching sports adamantly for 50 plus years. So I've seen this stuff redevelop, rehappen. I've seen fellas come to other teams. So anything can happen. If LeBron had been Philadelphia, they could be a challenge to the Boston Celtics.
Please, Father God, Daddy of Baby Jesus, let him go.
You ask yourself what type of LeBron you could get next year.
If the Knicks get that one player they're looking to get, that could happen. Anything can happen.
Now, the Knicks could be a real threat.
With that Villanova trio of Brunson, Hart, and DiVincenzo, they give you a matchup fit.
And the thing about it is, is the team that stays healthy through the playoffs. The team that wins is the healthy team.
That's very important.
I mean, no, I'm not making any excuses. Luka was hurt. Not making Brunson got hurt. I'm not making any excuses.
Everybody hated this.
Hey,
this
injury's part of the game. Right? We were hurt too.
Everybody hated this.
I'll tell you right now.
It's feelings hate. That's what
he likes.
Luka feelings
hate. No, but Purdy, I had to learn that.
Certain players the starter.
I learned that. Agreed. But I learned you got to gut up the injuries because I remember
that's a part of the game.
1989, the Lakers was perfect in the playoffs, didn't lose the game. The practice before the final start,
Magic
pulled a hamstring, Byron Scott pulled a hamstring, and the Detroit Pistons swept us.
The only team in NBA history to sweep themselves into the playoffs and then get swept out.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty.
Hey, what's going on?
I know that call was coming.
I know this was coming. Go ahead. Have your moment.
From the 60s. And Havlicek them was, and JoJo White them. I hear y'all talking about all the white boys.
Then you know from that time, that was flashback for you.
Sam Jones.
Huh? That was a flashback for you.
Yeah, but they had some black boys in there, you know, had Cedric Maxwell, and I could go on.
That's cornbread. That's the 80s, though. But when you go back in the 60s and the 70s, in the 50s, they had their crew, yeah.
Yeah, man, Boston was rough. What?
That was a 6'9" center dominating a bunch of 6'5" players. That's all that was.
Yeah, Will Chamberlain was still in the league.
Pretty, what you say?
He's saying Bill Russell was dominating.
At the time when Boston was winning them 9 in a row, you had a 6'9" center by the name of Bill Russell who was dominating a bunch of 6'5" players.
And all those years, Will Chamberlain was in the league.
And you got to be good.
Will Chamberlain
when they had Paul Silas and Dave Cowens.
I know Dave Cowens was coming up.
No, those guys were rough then. And JoJo White can hit them jumpers right.
And all this talking, you haven't talked about one of the greatest, if not the greatest setter yet, the hit from French Lick, Larry Bird.
Larry Legend. Larry Legend.
They was before Larry Bird. You know,
yeah,
Larry
agreed,
Bird
agreed.
Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, them two have turned the league around.
Okay, man, that's the only thing I was missing last night. It would have been good to see Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett.
How about Jerry
Sheesting? It would have been good to see them in the Garden.
What about Jerry Sheesting?
Sheesting, yeah, but
Jerry Sheesting.
Okay.
Rick Carlisle was on that team,
Dennis,
too.
Don't forget Dennis.
Scott Redmond. Earl's favorite, Greg Kite.
I ain't see nobody had that alley shuffle move like Kevin McHale. McHale is getting up.
Hold on, stop. And there was one person who used to shut him down, high school, college, and the pros. Pretty tell him his name.
You know, you always say
Michael Sweetbelt Thompson. Used to own him.
I know there'll be some belts, Brian, but
hold on. You notice, wait a minute now.
I love me some belts, Brian, but own him again.
Hold on. 87, 88, he was brought into L.A. for one reason, to shut down Kevin McHale. And he shut down Kevin McHale in 87. You all didn't make it in 88.
Boy,
and he won back to back. Go have a look.
He won in 86, though.
Okay,
all right. And he won in 85 in the bottom on a Magic Johnson hook shot going away.
Who won the most championship from? Who they win the most championship from? Who they beat the most?
Oh, the Lakers. The Lakers.
Let them know.
All right, then. I don't even get you straight.
Know.
So, since you say that.
As a matter of fact, the record against the Lakers in the finals, I think, is 9-3, I think.
They beat the
but
Lakers.
But it was the last championship before the one we won in the bubble. Who did the Lakers beat for that?
Yeah, no, we beat before that, too.
But I remember.
They beat us in 2010, and then we beat them in 2008.
So who had the last laugh when we played head-to-head?
It doesn't matter.
Shut up.
Who got the most championships?
Kobe on the bench.
Who got
Kobe
the most
on the bench with the fist in the air. Kobe on the bench with the fist in the air.
Hey, right, white towel.
We got the Yankees this series.
Well, listen, now Sheldon, don't give him too much slack. He's an Oriole fan, so he's plotting on us in baseball.
I pulled for the Orioles from the 60s.
Good young team.
You know, solid young team.
This will be a solid series this weekend.
Orioles and the Colts. I went to Baltimore Colts, going Indianapolis Colts. I still pull for them.
Hey, but look, when Cole comes back, the Yankees pitching rotation is going to be dangerous, man.
It's going to be very dangerous.
It's going to be dangerous.
Very nasty, but I like they did it under the radar, quiet as kept. And here we are.
I think back to Boston, I think they're going to repeat.
You have a good chance.
That team they got?
You have a good chance.
Very good
chance.
Once they stay healthy. I heard Longley mentioned about with the boy going to Philly. Man, Philly can need more on him, man.
Well, that would be a good pickup for them. I think the three best teams in the East next year, as it stands, could be Boston, Milwaukee, and New York.
Now, if
Philly used to get Paul Pierce, Paul George.
Paul George, yeah.
That could put them in the top three in the East. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyhow,
good talking, man. We got another call to get to. Good stuff, though. Congrats on number 18, bro. Hey, you know what I like tonight? I'm Sheldon. We got somebody making a debut for the Yankees, playing first base.
I saw that.
Ben Rice making it. Hey, Purdy, keep an eye on Ben Rice tonight for the Yankees, you know.
I saw that.
Is that Jim Rice's son?
it may be, you know.
You're right.
It could be. I need to Google that. It could be.
Check that out.
Let me double check. Go ahead, Purdy.
One thing about your Yankees, don't build up your hopes yet because you didn't expect your pitching staff to be this good.
No, we
didn't.
Let's
see what happens after the All-Star break.
Purdy, I will take that. I will take that. Not a problem. Let's go to the phone next.
Yeah, brothers. How y'all doing?
What's going on, my friend?
Naughty, from the minute you say, I have a guess and this could be long, I said, I shall live long.
You should have known that.
Hey, but... It hurt me to do this, but let me congratulate you, the caller who guest called, and all the original Bostonian in the talk of Sparky Dog and Foolish. All the original Boston fans, we know what it was, because we used to have a rivalry back and forth with them
for the last
10, 20 years. So this is the one who guest become no Boston. But
thanks, man.
Congratulations on number 18. Yeah, and I watch yourself, but no, back to back now. And I don't like how you're counting out Miami. I had one called Miami.
Oh, you can't go to Miami.
Jimmy
Buckets may end up in New York.
Jimmy Horton, Tatum and Brown and Gowan before him. And Pat Riley ought now, because Pat Riley ready to be rebuild now.
Well, anyway, Miami Royals have that gutsiness about them, but they need talent, man. They need depth.
Yeah, we need a couple more. Yeah, man. That's your on defense and size.
Yeah.
And size, man. You know, because every time we have tall players, we can't do nothing with them. And you know, Jesse Bazinkas, you can't do nothing with them.
Yeah, and the game's changing. You need wing defenders.
Right. But the all year, from the season start, you all hold the number one position in the whole NBA for the whole year. Jrue Holiday was a big pickup. He was a champion.
Huge addition.
And everything.
Huge.
He played big. And Lightning does strike the same place twice. Pitched it two big half-court shots in a game.
They were huge.
Yeah, man. Congratulations, man. But watch it for Miami next year, man. Miami is the threat they all for next year. All right?
We could never sleep on Miami, you know.
He hot right now. He hot. So he won us now, though. Yeah, he being there twice, he 0-2.
As long
at least y'all being there twice, y'all 1-1.
Yeah.
So then he mad now, though. So what? Okay, man. Yeah.
All right, brother.
All right, brothers. Yeah, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. All right, man. Be safe, my brother. Be safe.
Y'all be safe.
All right, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, but, I mean, the rivalry, you know, it stands to see what we do in free agency this year, everybody, and how they retool to come back. Because, as you know, some teams will spend some money to try chase that championship.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Milwaukee in the East. I think Philadelphia is another option if they make some moves. I also think, who else was another team that I mentioned? The Knicks? The Indiana Pacers. I think they only got better and more confident playing you guys because they took you to the wall.
Yes, indeed. I think free agency is going to be huge. You know, watch out for where Clay ends up. You know, I don't know if he's going to be back at Golden State, but I think he still has something to offer. He doesn't have as good of a season as he normally has, but he could be a huge addition to a contender.
Speaking of Clay, is he going to play for Team Bahamas? I know he's working out. He's not probably going to play in this qualifying run.
Do you think the red tape is going to get removed
that he can play?
I seriously doubt he plays. Too much things need to happen. You know, number one, he needs to become a naturalized citizen. I don't know if he has that as yet. You know, that should be an easy fix. But the main thing is that USA Basketball would have to release him. And that's going
to
cause...
Why does he have to become a naturalized Bahamian to play? And his father's Bahamian and his grandfather's
Because according to FIBA rules, only one person who is not a naturalized citizen can play at a time. And right now, that's Eric Gordon.
Okay.
Right? So you cannot have him and Eric Gordon playing on the same team as it stands. You know, and Eric Gordon is the one who got us to this point.
Are we going to have Kai Jones available?
I don't know. I really hope so. They're working with him up until the last hour, I think, to get him ready. To get him focused.
But he ended up with a good spot with the Clippers, though. I think post-national team, I think if he focuses, he'll be back in the league with the Clippers.
He is. But I don't think he's with the team at training camp right now. You know, so they're getting...
Okay.
They leave for Greece in a couple of days to play two exhibition games, and then they head off to the tournament.
Where's the tournament again?
The tournament's going to be in Spain.
All right, so Greece is Spain, not too far.
Right. They're going to need Kai, if you ask me. I think they definitely need somebody to help
rebound,
Aiden with interior defense and rebounding. You know, he's going to be needed. So I hope they're able to get him, but I don't know as it stands at this point.
Yeah, but
so what we have to do in this tournament, that we have to win the tournament, finish in the top two, finish in the top four?
We have to win. It's a six-team tournament. I think the main competition is going to be from Spain itself, the host nation. Right now, Spain is number two in the world. We're ranked at number 57, but we know we're much better than that. We have a good core, you know, and all of the NBA players are on board right now, with the exception of Kai. I hope Kai joins them. But, you know, we see that Clay is helping them out. He's in Houston with the team training, you know, so, you know, I'm optimistic.
Hey, listen, when you look at that Spanish team, wait, listen here.
They're going to be dangerous.
You got Juancho Hernan Gomez. You got Willie Hernan Gomez. Rudy Fernandez, who used to play with the Blazers back in the day in Europe. You got Santi Aldama, who plays, I think, with Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. Sergio Lowe. You got Juan Nunez. Yeah, you got some dudes who've got NBA experience. Abrines has also been in the league for a cup of coffee.
So neither of the Gasol brothers are playing. They're both retired, right?
Correct.
What about Ricky Rubio?
Rubio, I think, is done as well, too.
Okay.
Because he had the knee injury and all of that.
Okay. They're going to be tough. They have a lot of shooters.
Yeah, they do. And they got some size, too. And listen, those Hernan Gomez guys, they big, but they could score. And they could shoot.
Which is why we're going to need Kai up front, I think. Especially with rebounding, to help with rebounding. You know, but I like the core of the team. They have Alex Starr on board.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. VJ Edgecombe is in camp.
I like VJ Edgecombe. I think he's going to be doing big things too at the collegiate level.
You know, he's kind of young now. I don't know if he'll be able to contribute and how much he'll be able to contribute.
And isn't he the one that's going to transfer to Kansas?
He's going to Baylor, I think.
He's going to Baylor. Who transferred to Kansas?
To Kansas?
We had a guy transfer to Kansas, I think from Wisconsin to Kansas.
So that's Alex Starr. But Alex Starr, he finished his college eligibility.
This last year gone then, when he went to Kansas.
He finished it. So he finished at Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's in the draft.
Yeah, he's in the draft. He's in the draft. You know, okay. I know we have a coach who just signed as an assistant coach with Kentucky.
I know.
Yeah.
But who was the kid who played at Wisconsin last year?
That's Alex Starr.
No, but there was one I remember they said he's transferring this year to Kansas after playing in the tournament.
I'm not sure who that is.
I got to look it up.
Okay, I'll double check.
But nonetheless, let's get to this call real quick. Talking Heads.
Hey, what's it, Naughty?
Hey, what's going on, Skillaboo?
I just called for a little clarification concerning what I heard y'all was talking about, Clay.
Okay.
Ian.
What happened?
He is in.
In what?
In what?
He on the Bahamas team.
No, he's not, Skillaboo.
Listen, I was listening to Tingham the day. Colin Howard, your boy.
Coward,
and
okay.
I was listening, hold on. And I was listening to my man them on, what his name, QAM.
Yeah, but they don't know the inner works of the Bahamas team.
They say Clay will be playing with the Bahamas in the Olympics, for the Olympics try.
Unless they have some type of inner connection. They don't know the works of it, of the Bahamas team. Right now, as it stands, too much things need to happen in order for Clay to play. That's just my personal view, right? They can say he's in camp. He is at camp. He's at the camp.
I understand what you're saying. See, what I was listening to was gospel.
I believe this. When Eric Gordon...
At the end of the day, Clay, supposed to have been there when we play them Tingham game.
I believe this. When Eric Gordon played for us early this year, it wasn't until the 11th hour... I mean, he actually went on the trip not knowing if he was going to be able to play or not. It wasn't until the 11th hour that Team USA released him, and we got the okay from FIBA for him to play.
Right. I understand.
And
that
for Clay to play, it's going to have to be a similar situation, and then not only that.
Right.
But
let me tell you something. Clay will be playing. I just can say this, right? Clay will be playing for the Bahamas when the Olympics game starts.
All right, still, we'll keep at it.
I get my information from solid source.
All right, let's see.
One which is naughty source. So.
I got multiple sources, but yeah,
and
I mean.
You know Colin is your favorite source.
He's one of them. We got Colin going home today, as a matter of fact, talking
he's
Celtics and 49ers and all of that.
Yeah, but naughty, when you're going to start talking football, man?
Man, tomorrow.
It's nothing happening in football right now. Training camp's over till the 13th of July. Give it some time. Baseball's going on.
Pretty.
Yeah, pretty good doing baseball now.
What's going on? What can we talk about today? What happened?
Huh?
What happened today that we could talk about?
No, I say you
what happened today in football that we could talk about? That's last week. We signed Cal, the 37-year-old defensive tackle, Campbell. We signed a safety last week.
Yeah.
So we gonna crank it up. We gonna do baseball.
We talked about that on the show last week.
We'll do baseball and football off season coming up, starting tomorrow. Yeah.
And I hear some talking about Jason Tatum supposed to be Tingham. When the world they know basketball.
Jason Tatum, he'll be right in Boston for years to come. Yeah.
They know basketball.
Yeah, but listen, I remember Steph Curry was supposed to be MVP a couple of years ago, too. They gave it to KD. But Skilla, we got to get to the break because we got Colin Coward taking us home right now, man. And
okay,
my producer giving me the wave, so give us a buzz tomorrow. Purdy, I appreciate you chiming in. Sheldon, I appreciate you being here.
Okay.
Anytime.
I hate to find me and Purdy at the wax poetic on your 18th championship, but anyway, enjoy 18
to 17.
And don't be a stranger now, football season around the corner. You and Purdy got to be in there to talk, Dolphin.
No doubt. I'll be on.
Of course.
Purdy, we'll do it again tomorrow. Guys, appreciate you. But quick break, flip side of the break. Colin Coward taking us home. Actually, Rich Eisen taking us home today. with Overreaction Tuesday. We'll have some power for you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Don't touch it.
Ciao, ciao.
Attention all KFC lovers! Are you ready to get crazy on Tuesdays? Now you can get 5 juicy mouth-watering pieces of KFC chicken for only $10. It's crazy! 5 pieces of world-famous KFC chicken, handmade with a secret blend of 11 herbs and spices for only $10. Don't miss out! This crazy offer is only on Tuesdays and only at KFC. KFC Nassau, it's finger-licking good.
Flavored Island Games, we making dreams come true. Flavored Island Games, we paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market, you getting cash in your pocket. Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition. So when you play Island Games, we putting Bahamian's voice, guaranteed to pay. Island Games, we like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer. Island Games, we can make your dreams come true. We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetza Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your Cheetza Sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power, major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game-changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 plus 1 together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry-fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pole bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy 2 adults and 3 children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus 1. Mama, restrictions apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
That's correct. All right, Christopher, have at it, sir. What do you have over there?
Hey, guys, are you doing as good as me today?
Nope.
No.
Okay,
no, probably not. I mean, I'm alive, but other than that, no.
Great to see you guys. You guys are all beautiful humans.
Thanks.
Rich, not sure you saw this yesterday,
yes,
but another edition of Hard Knocks was announced. The in-season Hard Knocks. Coming out in December, focuses on the AFC North. the one seed in the AFC will come from the North Division.
So you're saying that the Hard Knocks, because I did miss this. I was on a plane for 12 hours yesterday.
How'd that go?
All right.
Okay, good.
Yeah. You know, watched a lot of The Boys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great show.
Finished season one.
Welcome
I'm on deep into season two.
Welcome to the party.
Thank you. So you're saying the entire AFC North is going to have a camera on them?
Yes.
All four teams.
In-season Hard Knocks. All four teams.
Oh, look at that.
Coming out December 3rd.
How about that?
The one seed is coming from the North.
Black and gold.
Here we go.
Here we go.
I don't know if it's going to be them. It could be. I don't know.
Sure. The number one seed, just like last year, will come from the AFC North.
Right.
I'll buy that. I'll say that that's not an overreaction. You're giving me four teams.
Yeah.
You're giving me one 25% shot at it. And that's the one division that I think from top to bottom has all four teams can put it together and become a one seed. The AFC East cannot. I don't believe the AFC South can, with all due respect to the AFC West. I don't think all four teams. I think if I have a shot at one division, if I take one division entirely, somebody will be the one seed. I choose that, so I'll take the odds.
What if I press and say someone from the North is going to the Super Bowl?
Now you're overreacting. What was the last one seed in the AFC to go and make the Super Bowl and win it? Kansas City Chiefs a couple years ago. Don't worry about that. Stop.
I'm just saying.
Saying that the AFC North will produce the one seed is as far as I'm willing to go to piss off Chiefs Nation right now and say that the Chiefs are not going to be a one seed. For me to sit here and say that. But as we know, even the Chiefs are having issues about seeding right now when it comes to their Super Bowl ring. So. All right.
They might be playing in Kansas for all we know.
What else, Chris?
Rich, I know the guy who was previously on our screen in the segment. I didn't recognize him. He had a mustache. He did not agree with that.
Right.
Brandon Ayuk is not going to play for the 49ers this year.
That's absurd. It is absurd. It's absurd.
Believe what people tell you. And he put out there that they don't want him.
So what, they're going to trade him? They're going to trade him?
Is he not going to show up?
If he's not going to show up.
They should just trade him and get something for him.
No, the one way that he will not play for the 49ers this season, if for whatever reason he wants to hold out and sit at home, which I don't know him, so I'm not going to speak for him. It would become extremely surprising. I would eat a garment of Mike Del Tufo's. If Brandon Ayuk sits out the entire season for the San Francisco 49ers, I would eat any garment of Mike Del Tufo's that he's wearing right now.
You know that.
And I don't believe wherever he is, that he's, I won't even plant the image. Okay.
You know, any garment means any garment.
Stop
any,
it. Right?
Like garment.
Brandon Ayuk is not holding out an entire season for the 49ers. And the 49ers have no reason post-draft to trade him. What are they going to just take their best chance of winning the Super Bowl, which is Ayuk being on the team right now for future considerations and other drafts? Why? No chance of that. So he will either...
Everybody's paying wide receivers. What, why aren't they paying him?
Because if... Would you pay... Mr. I'm not paying Trevor Lawrence top of the market. You'd pay Brandon Ayuk if his only way of saying, I'm only showing up if you pay me more than Justin Jefferson. You'd do that. Of course you would.
I think Brandon Ayuk is better at receiver than Trevor Lawrence is at quarterback.
But that's not the point. My point is, if his demand is to be paid top, he wants to be now the highest paid receiver.
He wants the Amon-Ra contract.
Okay, so then, but I don't. It's not my money. I don't know why the Niners would not pay him Amon-Ra money, other than the fact that they have to pay a whole bunch of other people that the Lions don't.
The Lions paid the receiver and the quarterback. What the Niners are going to have to do.
Unless they believe Juwan Jennings was damn near the Super Bowl MVP. So why do they have to pay Ayuk all that money?
Well, they got Ricky Purcell on a rookie deal. So,
dude, all I'm saying is what you put on the screen is a complete overreaction. Right. That ain't happening.
All right.
What else?
Let's talk Trevor Lawrence.
Let's not forget about him eating Mike's garments, though.
If Ayuk does not play a down for the Niners this year because he's holding out. Correct.
My balls are hot.
Sorry.
How do you know it's not a hat?
No, you said any. You said I think garment.
We get to choose.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Any garment.
Move on.
It's getting summer swamp.
Trevor Lawrence has to win a Super Bowl for this contract to be worth it.
Isn't that what you say about anybody? Isn't that what you say about anybody?
Not Dallas. They're not trying to win Super Bowls.
Yes, they are. Get out of here.
No, we're not.
What do you mean you're not?
I've said this before.
That's absurd. That's absurd that Jerry Jones doesn't want to put one more in the
then
case.
Then why is it Bill Belichick, their head coach?
Dude. I don't know.
Exactly. You can't answer.
Abby Steben.
Focus. Trevor Lawrence.
But I don't know how that Belichick becoming the head coach of this team that they didn't upgrade much on the roster through free agency or sign early enough to create the cap space to help out on that front, how that makes them more of a champion. I don't know how that works.
Some of the players on those Patriots teams that won Super Bowl.
Dude, all I'm saying is you could say that about anybody. You could make that case
about
anybody.
Yeah, but I'm saying it about this guy.
So what? So they make a Super Bowl but don't win it, and they never become
get out of the second round, or
sure. Then I'll say you're right. That's not an overreaction, but you could say that about anybody.
Do they win more playoff games than years extended?
Aaron Rodgers doesn't win a Super Bowl for the Jets, then it wasn't worth that. That it wasn't worth doing
you,
all this.
You already know it wasn't worth the headache of Rodgers.
Dude, I don't know that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh my God.
No, I don't know that. But that's what I'm making this point. You know, you could make that case about anybody in their contract. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right. Jay Phelps.